Okay. Turn back to Matthew 25. Title of the message, The Final Separation of the Just and the Unjust. There are only two types of people on this earth, the just and the unjust, the lost and the saved. Only two. Now, our Lord tells us here in these verses that He is coming again. You believe that? You're really looking for Jesus Christ to come again? There are many people who think we're just nuts to think like that. You really believe that God's going to put an end to this world, that this world someday is not going to exist as we know it? He's going to burn it all up. What's that tell us on how we ought to handle these things? Loosely. Don't live loosely, but handle these things loosely. Someone said God will not have to break your fingers when He takes them away. Because what you and I see is temporary. The things of this life, this world, is temporary. I think of my grandparents when I used to go to their house. They lived in Huntington, over on West Pea Ridge, and we'd go to their house. They're not there no more. Somebody else lives in that house. My grandfather built that house. They lived there 60 plus years, raised a family there, and now it's gone. They're gone. They're gone. Our Lord is telling us here that He's going to come again, and when He comes, it's going to be with great glory. Great glory and power. And He's going to come with all the holy angels. They are going to come with Him. And He's coming to make a final separation between the sheep and the goats, between the saved and the lost. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I assure you, by the Word of God, it is going to happen. Now, the first thing we have in verse 31 is a person revealed. He is called the Son of Man. Son of Man. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And I can only imagine that the throne of His glory is who He is. That's who He is. Don't be looking for some marble throne or some throne made out of gold. But here it's called the throne of His glory, the throne of who He is. And we find out here who He is. First of all, is the judge. The judge. The judge is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was despised and rejected of men. This is the one whom the Jews said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Not going to do it. Not going to have this man in power. This is not our king. This is not the one that's of God. This is not the Messiah. But He is. He is. This is the one whom God the Father exalted at His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. This is the one. Our Lord. The one we worship. And this should give us great comfort. The one who is our Redeemer. The one who is our sacrifice. The one who is our high priest, the one who is our mediator, the one who is our acceptance, is also the judge. He's the judge. And it says He's going to come in all His glory. The first time He came, it was barely noticed. It was barely noticed. But this time, all will see Him. Those who love Him and those who hate Him. They're going to see Him in His full glory. There's no words to describe such glory. No words to describe such a person. All the holy angels are going to come with Him. They're going to follow Him. He's going to lead the way. And He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And He's going to take His throne of judgment. And the administration of the judgment of the great day has been committed to the Son of Man. This word Son of Man identifies Him with us. And by Him, God's going to judge the world in righteousness. God has committed, the Scripture says, all judgment to the Son. That's why it tells us over in Psalms, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and His anger be kindled but a little, and you perish from the way. All judgment over all things, over all persons, over all principalities, has been committed to the Son of Man. A man is going to be sitting on the throne. And every nation, as we see here, is going to come before Him. Every person and every thought, every idle thought, the Word tells us, is going to be brought into account. You can't even remember the serious thoughts you had. Let alone all the idle thoughts and the foolish thoughts and the thoughts you're sitting here now that passes through your mind. He said that's going to be brought up into judgment. That's how thorough judgment's going to be. Acts 17:31. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained to be the judge, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men that He has raised Him from the dead. All men and women, all will appear before the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. You can go over in the Middle East right now and they shoot you, mention that name. They're going to be there too. All the nations that forget God. All the nations that despise Him. Every nation on this earth, it says here, is going to be gathered by Him. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Those that dwell together here now are going to be separated. There'll be a day of separation. You know, the Scripture says this, and this is comforting. When He gathers all nations here at this judgment, the Scripture tells us this, He knoweth them that are His. You're not going to get lost in the crowd. You're not going to get lost in that crowd. He knows them that are His. And there's going to be a clear distinction made between the righteous and the wicked. Between them that are His and them that are not. A clear distinction is going to be made. It says in Malachi 3:18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. There's going to be a clear distinction made. Here it's often hard to tell. You know, I could look out in this room. I can't tell you who really believes God and who doesn't. I got a good idea by your testimony and by your life. But if somebody walks in that door and he's dressed up, you can't see his heart, but God can see it. God does see it. He does see it. In that day, we cannot often tell here, but in that day, it'll be made very clear. Them that are His and them that are not. Without this separation, heaven wouldn't be any better than this earth, would it? Heaven would not be any better. Paradise would not be any better without this distinction being made. And without this separation being made. And then He says, "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." The sheep are going to have the place of honor and glory, while the goats have the place of contempt and dishonor. It does not say that the rich are going to sit on the right hand and the poor on the left. It does not say the educated on the right hand and the uneducated on the left. All distinctions gone. It's either sheep or goat. It's either lost or saved. And He knows the difference. He knows the difference because He did the saving. He did the saving. And notice here, the righteous are taken care of first. Then shall the king, we have a king, we are under a theocracy. This whole world, though it doesn't recognize it, is under a theocracy. Jesus Christ is not president, He's king. He rules and He reigns right now, whether we like it or not. Whether anyone likes it or not. Now, if God saves you, you like it. You're glad. You're glad. Then shall the king say to them on His right hand, "Come." That's what He says now, too. Come. Come to Me. All you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. "Come, ye blessed of My Father." Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. When did this happen? When did this happen? "Blessed of My Father." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." The Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Everything I need to stand in God's presence, I have. God gave it to me in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's when He blessed us. "Come, ye blessed of My Father." Before He ever created the first thing, I was blessed in Christ. I was blessed in the covenant of grace. I was given to Him. "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." My soul, we ought to be rejoicing in this. This ought to wake us up. "Then shall the king say to them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Here the judge is revealed to be none other than the King of glory. The one reproached, cursed by the world, but blessed of God, appointed of God. And when He speaks to them on His right hand, it's not like He spoke at Mount Sinai, thundering and lightning. It's a word of peace. It's a word of comfort. He looks at them. And He says, "Come." He's always saying that to His sheep, isn't He? He's always saying to us, "Come. Come. Come follow Me. Come to Me and I'll give you rest. He that cometh to Me, I will no wise cast out. Come. Come. Come." He speaks in peace and He tells us that we are blessed of His Father. And brother, that's just an indescribable blessing. I'm not even going to tempt it. Not even going to tempt it. The King gives all the glory of salvation to His Father, and He says to His saints, His sheep, "You, who believe, come. Blessed of my Father. Welcome. That's what he's saying. Welcome. Welcome, sinner. Welcome. Oh, Simon the Pharisee, when the Lord went to his house and that woman came in and she took the hair of her head and washed his feet with tears. Welcome. Oh, Simon the Pharisee said, if he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman she was. he'd know who she is. I tell you what, he knows what kind of woman she is, and he knows who you are, Simon. Who's the bigger wretch? Huh? It's that self-righteous Pharisee sitting there condemning that woman. That's the biggest wretch in the room. Oh, he said, come. Come. Welcome into the kingdom. You that follow Christ bearing the cross, come. Bearing his reproach, come. Oh, come, inherit the kingdom. Blessed of my Father. What joy will fill the hearts of saints in that day when he says, come on in. Come on in. Come on into the rest. Where sin will molest you no more. We now come boldly to the throne of grace, but then we're going to come boldly to the throne of His glory. And we're coming to an inheritance. Inherit the kingdom. Listen. Prepared for you. Before God created Adam and Eve, what did He do? He created the heavens and the earth. He created everything on this earth. He created the Garden of Eden. Absolutely perfect. And then He brought Adam into it. He created Adam and then, here it is, Adam. Adam didn't do one thing to inherit that garden, to create that garden. It was prepared by God. And here he says, here, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's done. It's already prepared. Listen, God has prepared a kingdom for you. And then he sent Jesus Christ into this world to prepare a place for you in that kingdom. And now he's preparing me and you for that kingdom. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. This kingdom was purposed and prepared before the world began. For you. For you. Now, if God has prepared it for you, how glorious must that kingdom be? If God prepared it. Would you like to have seen the Garden of Eden? I'd like to have seen it. But you and I are going to see something even greater. We're going to see something far greater. Those that are beggars here, those who are despised here, are going to inherit glory, a kingdom of glory. And then it's a kingdom prepared. Someone wrote this. I wrote this down. The happiness of it must be great if God prepared it. It's a product of the divine counsel. The Father designed it for them in His thoughts of love, provided it for them in the greatness of His wisdom and power. The Son purchased it for them and is entered as the forerunner to prepare a place for them. Isn't that good? I had to write that one down. And now the Spirit of God is preparing us for that kingdom. And it says it's an inheritance. We don't earn an inheritance. It's a gift. It's a gift. Given to us by the grace of God. Given to the worst of people. Isn't that amazing? And we can't lose it. See, Adam lost the Garden of Eden. He lost it. Turned it into briars and thorns and a desolate place. That's what it became, a desolate place. But this kingdom, we cannot lose it. We can't destroy it. Because it's not on my shoulders. It's on Christ's shoulders. Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The inheritance is by promise. God has prepared a kingdom for us. And He's prepared it for us. And He's promised to us in His Son. In that covenant of grace. It's promised to us. And then we have a character revealed of those who He's talking to. You know, you can't claim a promise if you do not fit the description of the character described in the promise. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you laboring and heavy laden? No. Well, He's not talking to you. He's talking to those who are laboring and heavy laden under sin. Hunger. Are you hungry? He said, come and dine. You say, I'm not hungry. He's not talking to you. We need to remember this. Are you thirsty? No. Well, go somewhere else. If you're thirsty, though, He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Here's the character. Verse 35 and 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. This is the character of those who inherit the kingdom. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. You notice how their works followed them, and the Lord makes mention of them? They weren't forgotten. He makes mention of them here in this judgment. He doesn't mention what they believed, but how they lived. As I said over here in the Bible class, the conduct of their faith. And He does not mention it as their right to the kingdom, but as evidence of their interest in the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied themselves. They loved the brethren. And they believed on Christ. They believed Him. And here's their true humility. I told you, faith is always evidenced by true humility. Listen. In verse 37, 39, then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hungry and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and we came to Thee? When did we ever do anything good? When did I ever do anything like that? Well, when did we ever? You're talking about somebody else. If you notice how in His providence, in the Lord's providence, He brings some of His own into trial for the exercise of grace in others. He might empty me in order to fill you. And what a trial that is for both of us. I would rather be the one hungry than the one with all the food and no heart to give it. And the King shall answer and say to them, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Serving one another is serving Christ. You say, how can I serve the Lord? You're looking at Him. Serving one another is serving Him. Oh, they're going to say, when did we ever see you this way? And the King said, he's going to say unto them, brother, I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. This reveals the humble admiration which glorified saints are going to be filled with. To find such poor and worthless services so highly celebrated. Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee? Notice how lowly they think of their own works, their own deeds. When did we ever do this? How different is the attitude of the ungodly? In Isaiah 58:3, they're going to say, "Wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not?" That's the attitude of the wicked. Lord, we fasted. And then what that Pharisee said, I fast twice a week, do all these things. Christ is among us more than we think. He takes notice of every minute thing about us. Everything. Everything. And then we have the attitude of the wicked. The attitude of the just, the sheep, was just true humility. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and do anything? When did we ever see that? And he's going to say, and look in verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." They are ordered to depart. They are cursed. They have no place prepared. Well, they have a place prepared for them, but not in God's kingdom. They have a place called everlasting fire. And listen here, it's a place prepared, he said, for the devil and his angels. That's a terrible place to have to go to. But you know what that shows? That shows that they are bad as the devil. You're going to go to the same place because you're just as bad. It's a place with no mercy. It's a place, the Scripture says, where their worm dies not, the fire is not quenched. And the reason being that the death of the wicked cannot satisfy God's justice. Can't do it. That's why it's eternal. It can never satisfy. Only Christ, only the death of Christ can satisfy the justice of God. No other death. No other. It's a place of darkness. No light. That's why it's called outer darkness. It's called the bottomless pit. You know why it's called the bottomless pit? Because the fall never stops. It's an endless fall. Just deeper and deeper and deeper in the darkness. But notice here, they had the same opportunities. Christ said the same thing to them. He didn't say anything different to them. "I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink." When Christ went into that house of Simon's, he said, "She hasn't ceased to wash my feet with her tears." He said, "But you gave me no water to wash my feet. You didn't give me the common courtesy that you give to everybody that walks into your house. You didn't give it to me. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you clothed me not." Let me give this thought. I've seen her reading this, but I'm standing here preaching the truth to you, the gospel. We have the Bible. Are you hungry? I'm feeding you. Am I not feeding you? I'm feeding you. Well, we're not strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel at one time. You're strangers. I'm taking you in. Naked. He said, "Well, you're not giving me any clothes. The righteousness of Christ. I speak to you the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ." When they went to the temple that day, they got nothing but lies. You have to tithe. You have to do this, that. I mean, they didn't get fed. They didn't get fed. The sick wasn't taken care of. Are you sin sick? That's being taken care of us. Prison. Talks about him setting the prisoner free. Have you ever been set free from the prison? Has God set you free? Yes, he has. If you believe he has. You didn't visit me? Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. But they say, Lord, when did we ever see you this and not do it? That's what they're saying. Did you catch that? Let me read it to you again. Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? The sheep said, Lord, when did we ever see this? When did we ever see you like this and minister to you? When did we ever see you like this? And when did we ever give you? When did we ever do these things? And they said, when did we ever not do them? Big difference. When did we ever not do them? It's evident by their conduct they were graceless, self-righteous, lost. The work of the Spirit was not in them, even though they professed. When did we not do? We've always done these things. Well, we've given to charity, we've done. Now, but I tell you what you did do. You stood in the pulpit and you lied. You lied. It wasn't, you know, for years I went to services. I hate to call it church because it wasn't a church. But I went to the services. I went to church. It was called that. Well, you understand what I'm saying. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear of the righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ. I didn't get that. I wasn't fed. I was hungry. I kept telling someone there, something's missing. I don't want to live, but something's missing. Christ was missing. Jesus Christ was missing. The man preached another Jesus. I was hungry. I didn't get fed. I was naked. I didn't have his righteousness. I was just a lost religious person like everybody. I didn't get anything. I didn't get any of this. When the gospel is preached to you in its truth, you're being fed, you're being taken care of, you're being clothed, right? They said, well, Lord, when did we not do this? Every time you stood in the pulpit, you didn't do it. And then every time you saw a sinner go by in need, like that Good Samaritan, when that came by, that man was laying down there in the street, and that Pharisee stood on the other side of the road. And here's the end. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. That's where you're going. Life eternal. Big difference, isn't it? Big difference. And the final separation of the just and the unjust. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The saints of God are going to inherit a kingdom prepared for them by the Father before the foundation of the world. You were taken care of before He ever created the first thing. Isn't that, that's such a glorious gospel. That's such good news. I was taken care of. I'm getting an inheritance. And it's all because of Him. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Not one iota has anything to do with me. None. But then there's going to be some. And there's already a bunch of them there now. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And I thank God for that message of where there in Matthew, he says, come to me. Come to me. Are you here this morning? Come to me. Well, he says, come to me. I come to Christ every day. I'm glad for that because I need him every day. He that comes to me, I'll never cast out. I use that all the time. Lord, you said you'd not cast me out. I'm worth casting out. But he said, I won't do it. If you come to me. All right, Lionel.